With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild time in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the background.
Welcome into another episode of the podcast, Theanos. I am Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by a man whose shadow is constantly blocking out the sun. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you, homie?
Just call me fat?
No, it means that your ego and your reputation are so large that they block out the sun.
I do cast a large shadow. Everything is in my umbra,
yes.
You know?
So what was Eclipse Day like for you today? Did you get into it?
I was home with the kids today. So we did. First thing I did was took them to the local public library.
Oh.
And I waited in line to get a pair of Eclipse glasses, the approved. And they were the NASA approved glasses. So we had those, and then we waited. You wait around. And I have to tell you, I tried to get them excited about the eclipse because, you know, they're not going to see it again until they're old. You know, this is a once in a, three, four decade experience. Like, you know, I'm telling them about the eclipse and science and this is an amazing. And they're like, it didn't get very dark, Dad.
So what you're telling me is that you're not raising nerds. It sounds like you're doing a good job if they're skeptical at you.
Yeah, they're like, this is lame, and they went back to their iPads.
It was a little bit of a bummer that it wasn't closer to us here in Michigan. It got, like, is it cloudy or is it dark? Like, it was kind of – it was in that range, which wasn't cool.
You could tell it was darkening. You know, I'm significantly farther south than you, of course.
That is true.
But there was a little bit of darkening. Now, my mom and dad and some of my family, they made the drive all the way down across the Ohio River into Kentucky to watch this thing. And they were trying to talk me into going. So what do you do? Do you go? It's about an 8.5 hour drive. And I was just kind of like, I don't think I'm going to do that.
No, that's a fake excuse kind of situation. I'm sick. I have the bronchitis, something like that. Rolled my ankle.
You know, I strongly considered going, but just that much, you know, car time with my kids, and I was kind of like, yeah, maybe not.
Were you surprised a little at how much, like, America just flat out went nuts for it today? Considering we're not, like, into, you know, hashtag smart things, like science.
No, I'm not surprised because we as a nation, we need this. We desperately at our soul need something that is apolitical, is generally positive, and is very unifying. I went to the library. Everybody's hanging out, talking about the eclipse. I mean, it's very public. It's very universal.
I'm very curious as to why the library is your source of eclipse glasses. I wouldn't necessarily put like two and two together there.
Because they were free and they had them.
Are they expecting them back in 2 weeks?
I'm procrastinating.
Is that what we're talking about here?
No, these are like, you know, the cheap ones. Come on.
We watched it in the office on the Weather Channel. That was actually our go-to.
Did you go outside?
I mean, I was outside at points. Yeah, I looked out a window. But no, the very first girl, I think she was in Oregon. When it hit, they came back to her, and she's in tears. Like, she's seen this, and she is flat out crying from the experience, which makes me think, you know, that's a bit much. And then, are you familiar with Jim Cantore? He's kind of like the weatherman. Like, he's the guy.
I'm remotely familiar.
Well, he was in Carbondale, Illinois, which is apparently where it was going to be fullest, the longest. Yep. And apparently, right when it reached that point, a cloud came over, so they couldn't really see it. And he was ready to murder somebody. It was the funniest thing. Like, not for him, but for us. I'm like, Jim, I actually don't really have strong feelings for you or whatever, but this is really, really funny.
Well, to me, that there's kind of two things you can observe with it. One is you get the glasses on, you look at the sun, and oh, yep, there comes the moon. It's in front of the sun. Just as anticipated. But to me, the more interesting or as interesting part is looking at the landscape around you and seeing the darkening.
Yeah.
To me, that would be as interesting. And that doesn't really matter if there's clouds or not. Like, you could see the atmosphere around you darkening,
yeah,
especially if you're at the belt of totality or whatever they call it.
Yeah, I heard the term totality about 116 mm-hmm. times more than I ever wanted to in my entire life. So let's move on from this science nonsense. We'll get to this week's leadoff question. If you had the chance to be in attendance for any rare generational sporting occurrence past, you know, something that has happened or something that you'd like to see in the future, an event that happens, you know, every year, whatever, what would you choose to see?
Probably the Olympics, I would think, just because it's so rare. Maybe one of the marquee events like the 100-meter dash or something like that. I would have loved to see one of Usain Bolt's feats of speed. If you were going to pick a particular event, wouldn't it be the – was it the 1936 Berlin Olympic Games, the Jesse Owens?
The Jesse Owens one, yeah. That would have been
It's right about there. That would be, to me – one of the most spectacular sporting events in history.
Yeah, when he middle fingered Hitler for a full week or however long the Olympics go. I actually didn't go back super far. I thought it would have been really cool to have been part of Game 7 of last year's World Series. The Cubs finally doing it. You know, I don't have anything, you know, I have a little bit of a soft spot for them just because, you know, lovable losers and all that stuff. But to see history be made, and that game was. I mean, that's as good as
it gets. It was an amazing game. It had everything.
That would have been I would have loved to have been at that one. And also, the 99 Champions League final, Manchester United came back from a goal down to score two in the final, you know, minute in extra time. That was clearly before I liked soccer, but that would have been just phenomenal to have been at.
That Cubs-Indians World Series, I was fairly neutral, and my blood pressure is through the roof, you know, and I'm just hanging on every action that takes place. I can't imagine being a lifelong Cubs fan and experiencing that. I'd be on my knees on the carpet. Like, I can't imagine
a paper bag. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if the Tigers ever get there again, I'm going to be a mess.
Dude, we're going to be old by the time that happens. Just kidding. Positivity.
We will need blood pressure medication at that time.
It'll be non-related to the circumstances. On the Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinio4. Eric is once again at Comeric Eric. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And if you like the show and you see us tweet like, hey, listen to the show, just throw us a retweet. A lot of you guys do that, and we appreciate it. It helps other people to find our show. And we have a review from this week. Are you excited?
I am.
It's called – or the title is Great Podcast. It's from RedCube77. This is what he gave us 5 stars. He/she, I don't know who Red Cube is. I enjoy the running stories. I like this person. Making the ride home or a great listen at work. So thank you, Red Cube, for getting in touch with us. If you want to leave us a review, make it funny, make it amusing, and we will read it out on next week's show. Because do you think Red Cube?
Do you think Red Cube 1 through Red Cube 76 was taken already?
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast Giannos.
Eric, I feel like we've reached the point in the season where if you, as in you, or you, the listener, are still watching the Tigers games regularly, like, you deserve a big kudos. Obviously, mm-hmm. I still am because I am a glutton for punishment. But it's been an extremely difficult week to turn on the old Fox Sports Detroit. Let's walk it back to the Texas series. As you may remember, we got hammered three straight times in Arlington. Johnny Cane showed us his adventures down in the Fort Worth Stockyards. He's been soldiering through the season like a champ. Like, his features game has been strong no matter what has happened. On-field challenges, nothing. Johnny Cane's right there.
Are you saying he's making features like it's his job? Because it is his job.
It is his job, but he does it with such verve and gusto. Yeah. Mm. Okay. Johnny Cane has cashed in less than 72% of the active roster.
Wow. I gotta confess. I know you're big into Johnny, but my heart still beats for Shannon Hogan. I miss Shannon. I want Shannon back.
Why? And not that, Shannon could take Trevor's spot or something. They could coexist.
Sure. I miss Shannon. I still follow her on Twitter and I watch her Islanders tweets or whatever. And just because I can't let her go. I can't let you go, Shannon. What? I like Shannon.
She was fine. What is her distinguishing feature?
I don't know. She just seemed nice. She seemed to, I don't know.
I probably shouldn't grill you on this too much, considering I have not a ton of basis for my Johnny Cane love.
I think she had just a little bit of wry, I'm in on the gag kind of humor about her. Like, I'm doing something ridiculous, and I don't know it's ridiculous. She had a little bit of vibe about her, so I like Shannon a lot.
Okay, I'll give you that. And lastly, part of the Texas series, we were treated to the feud that none of us knew we needed, but apparently we did, and that was Ian Kinsler versus Angel Hernandez. Monday night, Hernandez threw Kinsler out in the fifth for arguing balls and strikes, and then somehow things got spicier from there. By now, you should know the quote from after the game. He, Hernandez, needs to reevaluate his career choice. He really does. He's messing with baseball games blatantly. That was said by Ian Kinsler. Frustrating season. Are you okay with Ian going in on him so personally?
I'm not upset about it. Now, your first option would be to go to the league, file a complaint, write a letter saying this particular umpire is exhibiting a pattern of poor performance. Right. That would be your first and best choice. I imagine that route has been exhausted. And I imagine the league knows perfectly well that players do not approve of the performance of Angel Hernandez. And I think Kinsler is just pretty much fed up with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And go ahead. I think he's probably right.
Yeah, there's the report that said that 22% of all baseball players reported him as the worst umpire in baseball. And I think what it comes down to is it's not necessarily like Ian is saying, I want this immediate change, kick him out. I think he would take that. But I don't, he's not trying to get institutional change here. He's just venting his frustration. Right. And things may have spiraled a little bit more than he was expecting. I think he's well within his right to have a go. Like, as, I was going to say, as broadcasters, as bloggers, shall we say, as broadcasters, as, journalists, we all have our right to have a go at players. I mean, even down to Little League World Series players that are taking a beating on Twitter sometimes. There's nothing about an umpire that makes you inherently immune to criticism. I mean, the idea of your job is whether you are correct or not. And if you're not correct more than you're correct, you're going to take some beating, especially from a guy who is as feisty as Kinsler.
it's part of the long history of baseball to yell at umpires, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of a cliche that people go to a ball game to yell at the umpires. Umpires should know a little bit what they are signing up for. This is part of the lore of baseball. And also, Kinsler didn't talk about his mother. He didn't bring up anything real personal. Yeah. He just basically said he is not doing his job. He is bad at his job. I mean, if what else are you going to criticize an umpire for? I mean, that is, he's getting to the heart of the matter, and that is he thinks he's doing a bad job.
Yeah, he's not saying that he's, you know, he takes from the poor and, you know, stuff like that. He's just saying that what he does for a living is not something that he's well suited for. Which,
and Kinsler's not even saying, oh, they're giving the other team calls and they're not giving us calls. It didn't seem to me Kinsler was even going there. It was just, you were bad across the board. And this seems kind of fine to me. Now, the league came down on him, Kinsler, pretty hard. Now, no suspension, but they gave him a $10,000 suspension. How you feeling about that? Appropriate, inappropriate?
It's so hard to think of money in the terms of what Major League Baseball players think of money as. Like, they just work in a completely separate financial world than we do. Yeah. It's a lot of money. Osmond says that it's as big as he's seen. Clearly, this is not the worst thing that anyone has said in a post-game press conference. Like, you know, clearly, maybe it was a little bit much. But, you know, he did have his go, and that's part of America. You know, you can say what you want, and then you suffer the consequences. And he's clearly going to pay it.
He didn't do any flamboyant theatrics or run out and pretend to pantomime pooping on the plate or throwing a sweatshirt on it or something. I mean, he yelled. And I don't know. A small fine would seem more appropriate to me. A suspension would be completely unnecessary, but...
And truly, yeah. I think it brings to light something that doesn't get talked about much. There isn't a ton of umpire accountability. Like, you see the same guys running out there year after year after year after. I'm sure there's some sort of review process, but, you know, when somebody's heading the umpire union, their job isn't going to be to get less umpires in the major leagues. It's going to keep the guys who are there. You know, if Kinsler was having a down year, he'd be gone. You know, Angel Hernandez could have a terrible year and he's still going to be calling, you know, strike three.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to set up the thing with the wristbands. Of course, Country Joe West is the head of the umpires union, and he put together this letter, this press release, basically saying that they're going to be wearing white wristbands in protest of the verbal abuse that they're receiving from players. What did you make of this? Appropriate or too much?
I think it's very interesting coming from Country Joe West. Because everyone knows that there's nothing that Country Joe West likes more than a little bit of FaceTime. If it had come from somebody else, I would say, I still would be kind of against it. It's kind of a prima donna move. Just shut up. But, they're well within their rights to wear them, but we are well within our rights to say shut up and not take them seriously.
I was seeing universal opinion that this is a little ridiculous and that they should kind of suck it up. I did not see a lot of umpire sympathy.
Here's the deal. Within 10 years, they're all going to be gone anyway. So maybe they should be enjoying this while they still have it. Robot umps are coming, and maybe we need to start cozying up to them now, because clearly we're not getting, you know, awesome. Kinsler wasn't getting the calls with the human umpires.
Right. Since you brought it up, I have one hot take on robot umpires that I will opine for you. We have rolled out review to me in a backwards way. We have all these things that we can review on the base paths and so forth that are kind of judgment calls. But we can't touch balls and strikes, right? Balls and strikes, the sacred human element or whatever. To me, balls and strikes could be the first and easiest thing to robot ump.
Fox tracks.
They, They wear a little buzzer on their hip, and if it's a strike, it buzzes, and you put up your right hand.
Yes.
If it does not buzz, you stand there. Like, this would be the easiest thing. Nobody would know that it's a robot ump except the little buzz on your hip. Like, to me, that's a no-brainer. That's the easiest thing to robot ump.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, no, you're not going to put a green light, red light, or anything like that. You can still get the theatrics of a person out there doing. Just, I mean, like in the tennis match, you know, they got the little machine. Nobody questions it. Like, the balls and strikes would be super easy and seamless, I think.
Yeah, I feel like I come at this from a little bit different perspective. I am maybe more traditionalist. I don't have any problem with the human element in baseball. Over the course of 162 games, there are enough calls, balls and strikes, out safe, you know, home run, you know, double, that everything is going to even itself out. There are going to be years that maybe it's slightly imbalanced, but over the course of a career, you know, it's going to even out. I don't necessarily have any problem with just having, what do they have, 4, 5, 6 umpires, depending on, you know, the magnitude of the game. Just let them do their job. But with that being said, they should have the right to be spoken to at times. And I think another interesting aspect of this is he threw Kinsler out of the game. Like, that wasn't necessarily something that needed to have been done. And when you go not above and beyond the rules, because it's well within his right to do so, but this is not something he had to do. And when you do something like that, you are inviting on yourself extra scrutiny, extra criticism. And that's
right.
That's exactly what he's gotten.
Rod Allen in the commentary was not having much sympathy for Angel Hernandez. I mean, he was saying, "Oh, he's going out of his way to pick a fight," and I couldn't disagree with him. I did think it was interesting too that the next game, the normal rotation would have Hernandez as the second base umpire, but they moved him to third to keep him away from Kinsler. What do you think about that?
I think that says volumes about him, as in Hernandez, not about Kinsler, right, that he can't handle it. And if you can't handle him chirping at you for nine innings, like how are you umpiring at the highest level? It blows my mind. Ausmus and Kinsler both came back at the umpire protest, I guess you'd say. This is the one thing that I thought was really funny. Ausmus said, and I'm quoting here, "To single out one player is completely wrong and goes against what the sport is." I agree, but our buddy Ian Kinsler literally just singled out a specific umpire.
right.
Little rich for my taste, but I mean, I don't know if Brad intended that to be tongue-in-cheek or whatever, but I thought that was really, really funny.
Right. Yeah, like, it wasn't the umpires are doing a bad job. No, no, no. It was Hernandez is doing a bad job. That's it. That's a good call.
So obviously they just kind of, both of them just doubled down. At what point do we need to be smart and maybe walk this back a little bit so we start getting some calls? I mean, I know that this isn't something that's going to, you know, mentally factor into the umpires' calling of the game. But in another way, it might mentally factor into the umpire's calling.
What do you think's the psychology on that? If you're too hard on the umpires, they're going to take vengeance on you and not give you calls? Or are you of the NBA model where if a coach is riding you for a call, you finally get one?
I would say it's the first one. In MLB, my perspective would be that I believe that a buddy manager with the umpire is going to get more calls. Just
interesting.
Just as a, you know, what?
So you got to cozy up
instead of carrot instead of stick. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I don't necessarily have any strong backing to that, but it's not somebody, you know, when an umpire or a ref runs up and down the floor, they're passing the opposing head coach, you know, every single trip, and he's going to be in his ear every single time. Whereas, you know, you can yell stuff from the dugout. Obviously they can hear it. It's just not quite as, the dynamic isn't as direct, I guess I would say.
Okay. So I was reading one of these 538 or some kind of semi-scientific breakdowns of home field advantage, not just in baseball, but in football and basketball and hockey as well. And they were trying to figure out why the home team always does significantly better, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to break down the particular factors of what makes it. Now, baseball is a little different because you get last bats, right? Mm-hmm. But in other sports, leave that aside for a second. So they're trying to break down what makes the home team so much better. Is it familiarity with the playing surface? Is it, the energy that they're getting from the crowd? And they've used all their science, and they found that the biggest factor in the biggest reason why home teams do better is the crowd's influence on the officiating.
That's really interesting.
And I thought it was really interesting. I'd have to find the article back. But that was like towards the top, or I thought it was the number one thing, because the psychology of the crowd and the hardness of calling against the crowd and the affirmation, just even subconscious affirmation of calling that the crowd appreciates changes the course of the game significantly.
Yeah, and so. The truth is, it's a combination of a million things. Like,
of course,
it's always in the nuance. Not to, that everything relates to soccer, but Thierry Henry, who's, for those of you who don't know, a very good soccer player. He had a quote about how, and you know, this is greatly paraphrasing, but essentially, when you're playing at home, your positional sense is so much better because you'll look up and see, you know, an advertising thing, and just by you, like, where you are compared to that, you know exactly where on the field you are. And I think that it's kind of that spatial awareness, not necessarily in baseball, but, you know, basketball, football, hockey even. I think that can play a really big factor into, yeah. And maybe for outfielders, more than infielders in that regard.
Maybe. I'll have to find that article.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
That is interesting. Obviously, we followed up the debacle in Texas with an extremely tough Dodgers series. We played them pretty tough, but it took Verlander to have a no-hit bid to actually get us in the win column. It was nice to be adjacent to greatness, even for a weekend.
Yeah, and to see Curtis again.
Yeah.
That was kind of a fun timing thing that he was able to make his Dodgers debut at Comerica.
Yeah,
the crowd gave him a nice hand.
I got to be honest. I looked like, wait, when did this happen? And then I checked my phone. Okay, today. That makes me feel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I think that the Dodgers are a really good model. Like, you look top to bottom, they're solid. They have some guys that, you know, obviously their pitching staff is just loaded. But, you know, Justin Turner, Chris Taylor, like, all of these guys on their own don't necessarily look like just absolute world beaters. And obviously Corey Seager is a really, really good player. So is Bellinger.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting take on where baseball is, that you don't have these massive mashers, these, you know, big time superstars in the middle of what is apparently going to be, you know, record wise, possibly the greatest team of all time.
So if you're using this as a model, you would suggest, one, spending an enormously large buttload of money, and two, having the most amazing prospects in baseball come up at the right time.
Yes, I think that is the model. I mean, look at the Cubs. Okay. They didn't spend a buttload of money, but they certainly spent quite a bit and had the prospects come up. I really do think that winning the World Series right now, I mean, it does take. That's essentially the combination that you need.
Yeah.
You need luck and the money. Stunt. I mean, even what Kansas City did that. They had their golden generation with Hosmer and Sal Perez, and then you mix that in with some of the free agent starting pitching signings that they made, and, you know, it worked. That clearly wasn't where I was going with when I said the model, but, I mean, I guess that is the model.
The stars need to align, or in this case, the moon.
So let's talk a little bit about the rotation before we go into your power rankings. Everything has kind of gone to crap over the last month or so. Been trying guys out. Alex Presley's been in right field a lot. I think that kind of sums it up. Feels like not quite a spring training atmosphere yet, but we're getting there. But the rotation, I think, is something that we can glean meaningful takeaways from still this season. You know, it no matter what the circumstance is, when Verlander goes out there, his performance isn't dependent on what's going on around him. And unless something unforeseen happens, this is essentially the rotation we'll be taking into 2018, or at least it will be when Norris rejoins it. Like, this is essentially what it's going to be. So let's take a second, digest what each starter has been up to recently, and maybe where our optimism level is for them going into next year. And we've run a little bit long, so maybe we'll kind of just zoom through this a little bit. But let's start with Verlander. He's been the subject of trade rumors, and somehow he's been brilliant in at least eight of the nine last starts. Back to striking out guys in elite level. Stuff is amazing again. I wrote down the word ageless. I feel like we're approaching that level with him.
I don't know about ageless, but I think he is he's age stable. I think he's I don't think he's going to have a precipitous drop off.
I guess maybe that was where I was coming from.
Yeah. And I think it says a lot about him that we're in the last quarter of the season. I don't know what it is. And he is stronger than ever. Right. He has a way of figuring things out. His strength and stamina is still very good. I am stunned that the Astros are not pressing harder for him. I think the Tigers would chip in $3-4 million a year for the last couple of years of his contract, and they would take like a number two prospect and like an 8 and a 12 or something like that. Like, not the biggest names. And Astros are just not having anything to do with that. To me, it makes so much sense for the Astros because, okay, they have the payroll space. So Verlander is a mid rotation guy for the next couple of years. Who cares? You could use that if you're the Astros. You mix him in with Keuchel and McCullers, and you're solid for
and what
years.
They have right now, he's their ace. I mean, Keuchel's been good, and everyone else has been, probably pitching a little bit above their level, but he is your absolute ace. I've kind of gone back and forth on Verlander on whether I would like them to trade him. I think I've reached the point where if we get good again, if this project ends up coming to fruition and we, make it back to that top table, I still think Verlander is a big, big part of that team. There are guys like Zimmerman, some of the, and even maybe Fulmer, depending on what happens long term with the elbow issue that I'm not so sure about. But Verlander, 4 years from now, I feel relatively confident that he's still
mid rotation
or better. Level
he could win a playoff game for you. If Kenny Rogers is out there winning playoff games for you, Verlander is going to win a playoff game for you.
So much guile, though, with Kenny.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so let's go out of 10. What is your 2018 Verlander optimism?
7.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'll go 8. I think he's going to be just shy of that, really challenging for the Cy Young group. Because there are some uber elite starting pitchers in the AL right now that maybe he is just a tick below. Let's move on. Michael Fulmer missed a start with an elbow issue, which has me all kinds of nervous. But it was essentially just one. He threw a gem against the Dodgers on Saturday. But was poor leading up to and immediately after the DL stint, which you assume is related to the elbow. But all in all, 3.60 ERA this year, 18 of 23 quality starts on the year. There's not much you can say that hasn't been said about Michael Fulmer. He isn't the most charismatic of starting pitchers, but he is as rock solid as it gets, especially for a young kid.
He brings it. A lot of energy, really good stuff. I think there's still a really bright future for him.
Yeah. I feel like I've made this comparison a bunch of times, but I really do think that a Jake Peavy career, and if Peavy would have stayed healthy, I mean, who knows what that career could have looked like, but I feel like they're very similar pitchers. And,
that's a good comparison.
Peavy won a Cy Young.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on. The real question mark in my optimism level for 2018.
8, 10.
I'm going 10. He's gonna get even better. Okay, Zimmerman. Real question mark. What do you do with him? Like, I don't even know where to stand on him. Recently, he's been bombed in back-to-back outings, one of which we were there for. Before that, 3 straight quality starts, went 7 innings. And then before that, he kind of alternated okay and not terrible outings, essentially since June. Clearly we're never getting our number two money out of him, but like, where are you at on him? I can't get a real firm grasp on him.
I think you have a mid-rotation starter who is showing some age and wear and inconsistency because of it. I think you do nothing but run him out there and see what he gives you, and you hope. And you hope he gives you a quality start.
I guess I come at him maybe he is a more of a back end of your rotation kind of guy who can on occasion pitch more like a middle of the rotation guy. I don't know. It's a bummer because obviously the first, you know, what, four or five starts before he got hurt last year, it was looking like the sign of the century, and things have gone downhill quickly. Your level of optimism for Jay Z, I believe that's what the jerseys would have him be called,
right,
for 2018.
For next year, four.
Yeah, that seems about right. I could see him turning in a 10-14 season with an ERA around 5. Does that feel reasonable?
Probably.
All right, last one, because obviously we haven't seen Norris in, you know, many moons, so it's hard to tell what's going on with him. But Boyd, after his recall, 3 great starts, and then in his last 3, he's only pitched 5 once. I feel like with him, you've just seen so many flashes, both, like, this guy can really stick and can really do it, and then at the same time, there's been flashes of maybe he just doesn't have quite what it takes to cut it at this level. I don't know. I want to really like him. He's one of the guys that I really root for, but I just like Zimmerman, I'm definitely caught in the middle on Matt Boyd.
I'm not feeling it with Boyd. I feel like Boyd's a placeholder until one of the younger kids can come up, until you get Burrows or Manning or somebody who's ready.
Which is fine.
I mean, Boyd's going to be in the mix as one of these placeholders.
Yeah, just like Verhagen.
Kind of.
No, I was mostly just kidding about that. We'd gone, 35 minutes and there had been no Verhagen mentioned, so.
Yeah, he's not that good.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, let's move on to your power rankings.
All right, power rankings. I have for you, we talked a lot about it. Let's talk about it some more. I have for you, natural phenomenon.
Oh, this will
natural
be good.
Phenomenon. So this would be space and or atmospheric natural phenomenon.
Of course.
In the air. Okay, you ready?
Oh, born ready.
Number 7 is a comet. Comets are cool. They are very cyclical. The most famous comet is Halley's Comet. Comes around about every 75 years. So strap in for 2061 for Halley's Comet coming back around. Yeah. Ready? You excited?
I'm not. I feel like the comet on the NBC, The More You Know, like that really ruined it for me. Like, it's just so cheesy. I don't know.
Give you false comet body standards. Yeah, you got to look through a telescope pretty much to see a comet. It's number 7.
Yeah, if I can't see it with my eyes, it's like, is it actually real? I don't know.
Can you see a comet with your eyes?
I don't know. This is your power rankings. You tell me.
Crud, Hall. I don't know. I think you can.
Okay. All right. If you can see it with your eyes, then I'm more in on it.
All right. It's number 7. We're at the bottom. Just relax. It's a comet.
Sorry, I'm getting a little too heated too soon.
Number 6 is tides. Tides are cool. The water rushes in, the water rushes out. Tides remind me, going to Florida, you look at the chart and figure out when the low tide is. You can collect shells and stuff. It's kind of cool. One recommendation, 2 weeks in a row now, film recommendation. You have to go see Rivers and Tides. It's a documentary about this artist. His name is Andy Goldsworthy. It sounds cheesy.
It sounds but terrible. You love me.
Watch Rivers and Tides. It's very soothing. If you've had a bad day, watch Rivers and Tides. You'll love it.
You know the best part about tides is the birds that like run down when the tide goes out, and then the tide comes in, and they're like, "Holy crap, gotta get out of here!"
Like little sandpipers or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, love those guys.
Okay, number five is a meteor shower. Yeah, so falling stars, they're actually meteors. Sometimes the Earth collides with a whole cluster of these things. I was told like a couple weeks ago there was a big meteor shower. I seem to always miss them.
Maybe the meteor showers should have a better like social media game. Just pick up their publicity.
They should have a little better representation. Yeah.
Just tweet at meteor showers and let them know that tip.
Yeah. So you're looking in the sky, and I always seem to miss them. Because people are like, oh, there's one. Did you see it? No, I didn't. I'm looking. Well, you got to look up at it. What do you think I'm doing? Looking for the falling stars? Stop it.
So you're the slow one that we're pointing stuff out to. Okay, good to know. Yeah,
that's true. Not catching the meteors. Okay, number four is lightning and thunder. Now, most people say thunder and lightning. Why would you say that? It goes lightning first, and then the thunder comes afterwards. So this is basically like a thunderstorm. You ever have one of those real hot, humid summer days, and you sit and you look to the west and you watch a thunderstorm roll in, and it just feels kind of exciting and interesting. You ever do that?
I don't know that I've ever watched it like come in off the water, but that does sound fun. I don't mind a thunderstorm.
Yeah. Now they can be a little dangerous. That's But you got to be a look.
Just don't be an idiot when it comes to thunderstorms. I feel like that's...
Stay inside.
Yeah.
Don't hold a giant metal pole in a field or something.
You probably shouldn't do that in any scenario, though.
Right. But thunder and lightning, or lightning and thunder in this case, is cool. Number three, here we go. Solar eclipse. Solar eclipse is rare. That makes it exciting. Everybody talks about it. It is a cool phenomenon. It destroys its brother, the lunar eclipse, in the amount of excitement. Lunar eclipses are kind of trash.
Yeah, that's the redheaded stuff. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. But it was cool. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I'm excited for the next one, solar eclipse.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
Number two is the Northern Lights, or Aurora Borealis, if you're going to get all scientific. I understand these are absolutely spectacular. I've caught little glimpses of them from time to time. They would be number one, except for you have to be pretty far north, and it's got to be clear, and it's cold. It seems like a lot of work.
It does.
I don't want to work at it.
It seems like the kind of thing that you would take a vacation like to Alaska to see. Like I do agree. I think it would be absolutely incredible to see.
Yeah, but once in your life or whatever, you'd go out of your way to see some Northern Lights.
Yeah, especially if there's orcas around too.
Yeah. Number one, you have a guess?
Not a clue.
Number one is a blizzard. Blizzards are awesome because stuff gets canceled. And you can cancel your plans and stay inside. Blizzards are not dangerous. You know how you survive a blizzard?
You stay
you
inside.
You do nothing. You do nothing.
So here's it's the problem that normal thing. People have with blizzards is that stuff doesn't actually get canceled for you. You still have to go to your crappy job because it isn't really canceled, just school and school-related activities.
Okay, so you...
I'm 18. I'm out of school.
Okay, so you... A blizzard comes in. It's big news. Everybody, you don't go into work. You say, I was snowed in because of the blizzard. Everybody understands. It's fine.
So you're advocating to our listeners to lie.
Well, I mean, if there's a big blizzard, yeah, you just stay in. Do a puzzle and make some cocoa. Ugh. Blizzards are great.
Snow is the worst. Snow and cold are the worst, which makes sense because I live in Traverse City where we don't get any of either of those.
Made a stupid life choice.
Definitely.
All right. Bottom three. Third from the worst is tornado. tornadoes are super destructive, but you kind of know they're coming. And I'm talking to you, Kansas, Oklahoma people. Maybe don't live in the way of one. But they have sirens. You know they're coming. You can at least get in the basement. Yeah. You know, don't live in a trailer park.
Yeah, tornadoes are kind of dicks.
Yeah, they're kind of dicks. Number two is a drought. Hmm. Like, a drought isn't an immediate life or death situation, but when it can kind of destroy your life, it can destroy countries if you're not getting enough rain. Droughts are pretty bad.
Yeah, that's a sleeper one right there. Good call.
Drought. Bad. Number one, got a guess? Nope. Worst natural phenomenon.
Hurricanes. I don't know.
It is. It's hurricanes.
Oh.
Hurricanes.
Look at me go.
Are super destructive. And because you get the wind and you get the flooding, you get the storm surge. You think of what Katrina did to New Orleans. And I still remember Hugo in South Carolina and Andrew in Florida. When they're naming stuff like that, I mean, it's pretty bad. Hurricanes are bad. Now, you do get a warning, but there is nothing you can do to get out of the way of these things. Either they like crush you or they don't. I feel like hurricanes are really bad. Don't go into a hurricane. Okay? That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
It's just good life advice. Right. So last week, we discussed how I had seen three empty Fireball bottles on the side of the road while running. Yeah. Do you recall? Listeners, do you recall?
That's all I've thought about since.
I was irritated by the littering. Well, it appears that someone is just straight up trolling me. This week, I found four new bottles. Not all Fireball at this time, so it appears that they're diversifying their alcohol consumption. There was a Popov vodka bottle, which I'm assuming is straight from Russia. And there was one that was face down, so I couldn't see it. And of course, the other two were Fireball. That's clearly their favorite. So those for those counting at home, that's roughly, I don't know, maybe 20 miles of road that I run between various routes regularly. There are now seven empty bottles of alcohol. So obviously we have like a heavy drinker in the area with a littering problem. Or I suppose it could be a litterer with a drinking problem. I'm not sure which you'd
Do you think this person's running too? She's running the same routes while they're boozing it up and tossing their empties?
Sure. That would at least be kind of the healthier option.
Stumbling around, running and drinking. Oh, mix it up though. Buy some classier booze.
Yeah, for real. Give me something new to look at. Enough fireball. Okay, let's get into some listener questions. The first one comes in from Evan at EvanKen95. Do you two have any book recommendations?
No. I just my wife bought for me, and I just cracked open at a recommendation, Terror in the City of Champions.
Ooh.
So this is about I should probably know better if I'm going to talk about it, but it's about Detroit and the Tigers and how in I guess 1935 they won the championship, and there's a gang going around killing people. It's very reminiscent to me of Devil in the White City, which I really liked. Yeah, there's a book recommendation for you. Devil in the White City, I enjoyed nonfiction, but this is I think kind of a knockoff of it, but I'm gonna give it a try.
All right. I only read soccer books. So one that I would recommend is called Das Reboot by Raphael Honigstein. It is about essentially how Germany reset their system and then won the World Cup. It heavily features Jurgen Klinsmann. So whoever is interested in the U.S. men's national team might find some of the things that he did for Germany and then for us, you know, kind of the parallels to be interesting. It worked for them, and then for us, it worked less.
Some. A little.
So that would be my book recommendation. But that's only if you like soccer. If you don't, then read something else. Nicholas Haller asks us, what is the best pop?
I like regular Coca-Cola, but I really like the Mexican variety where they make it with the real sugar. You can buy it at Meijer. You got to go to the Mexican section, but that's the best pop. Regular Latin American Coke.
The problem with getting it at Meijer is then you're at Meijer and you probably like just, you couldn't have made a worse life decision.
Well, it's either Meijer or you drive to Mexico and you get some.
I would rather spend, I mean, it'd be about the same amount of time. I could wait in line at Meijer in Traverse City for 9.5 hours, or I could jump on a plane, fly to Mexico City and pick some up there. I mean, it's virtually the same. I will actually go with Coke too, though. Coke is, I mean, it was the first, I think, and it's still the best.
One quick story. When I was in high school and college, I worked a construction job, and I would drink Mountain Dew. That was my favorite. In the morning, Mountain Dew. Lunch, Mountain Dew. End of the day, Mountain Dew. I was drinking 4 20-ounces a day.
Yikes.
And I started getting stomach aches, and I went to the doctor, and they're like, are you drinking anything acidic or eating anything acidic? And I'm like, well, I drink a lot of Mountain Dew. They're like, yeah, you have an ulcer. So I got an ulcer from drinking too much Mountain Dew. And since then, I really haven't – I don't drink a lot of pop, a lot of soda.
Yeah.
I'll have some occasionally. But
yeah. I drink it for taste. I don't drink it for like thirst quenching, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You drink pop in the morning? What kind of deviant were you?
This was before I started drinking coffee. Now I ruin my – health and system with coffee.
There's nothing wrong with coffee. I read that 2 cups a day is good for you.
Well, I should be healthier than snot.
You're healthy as a horse. Okay, next one. @tigers_opinions. Music to listen to while running on the side of the road. I'm assuming this one's for you.
Stop. Don't do it. When you want to get to it, stop. Don't run. That's what I'd
do. No, you absolutely should run. It is good for your health.
It is good for you. Don't listen to me.
I actually don't listen to music when I run. I listen to
podcasts.
Soccer podcasts. And this is clearly not a look at us plea, because I can't imagine listening to our drivel while I was exercising. But yeah, find a topic you're interested in. And there is, I mean, unless it's like bird watching or something, there's probably a million podcasts out there on it.
I guarantee you there's a bird watching podcast.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
That's probably true. It's probably gets better ratings than we do.
Yeah.
And if you have to do music, I don't know.
Hip hop.
I tend to listen EDM. To music I like, as opposed to like pump up music. I don't know. I find that like a pump up soundtrack kind of gets a bit tiresome. So I'll throw on some Kid Cudi. That's my guy.
I'm an EDM guy, so I like EDM.
I don't know what EDM stands for.
Electronic dance music.
Ah, okay. I'm following you now. Yep. Billy Robinson asks us, Comerica Park is good, but not great. What changes, feasible or otherwise, would making it great? And then in parentheses, other than winning. Sad smiley face.
I think they did some cool things with that New Amsterdam bar area. Like they put chairs with like little tables around, like, so you can just go and sit there and just chill. Cause I feel like the farther away you get, the more space and amenities you should have.
Yeah. Makes sense.
That to me makes good sense. Otherwise I think they do a pretty good job. I always complained about their, concession stands on the seat side of the concourse and how they looked so temporary and cheesy and kind of clumsy. And then sure shoot, and they replace those with more permanent setups that look really nice and are better. I mean, Comerica Park is set up, unless you're getting like opening day, you get long lines for the bathroom and stuff like that. But you get outside of opening day, they do a pretty nice job.
Yeah, I'd like to see more local. I know there are some, but some more local vendors as far as drinks and food
choices.
Options. That'd be cool. And, you know, it's the stuff like that that makes it, you know, more of a Detroit feel, where, you know, we're heavily pumping the District Detroit, like bring in some of the area coffee houses, you know, barbecue, et cetera, et cetera. I think that would be a nice touch. All right.
I agree. That's a good call, Jordan.
We should tweet at Tigers. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're just on pins and needles for our suggestions.
Wouldn't it be fun to have like a stretch of like 12 booths, maybe on the far far walkway, kind of by the statues, but on the other side, just like 12 permanent booths, but like a rotation of people or restaurants or vendors who come and set up their booth to offer their wares for a game. So not permanent, but like a rotation.
Absolutely.
So people could get a taste of you know, their offerings. That'd be kind of fun.
Essentially take the Eastern market and put it inside America on a rotating. Yeah, that's a that is a really cool idea. We were at Progressive, not last year, but the year before. And there was it seemed like they kind of had that little bit more of a rotation. A couple of the places that we had actually eaten. Whitney's a big foodie, so we had, you know, picked out some of the more Clevelandy places, and they actually had places that they were selling their stuff in, inside too, and that was it was good. We enjoyed our time there.
Get on our boys with the Tigers and tell them what to do with that.
Yeah, definitely, because we have all kinds of pull. Last two questions come in from the Troya brothers. First one comes from Jeremy. All of the questions should be
the better Troya
eclipse related. Who's the Tiger most likely to stare directly at the eclipse?
It's kind of who's the densest Tiger.
Yeah, he has in parentheses basically who's an idiot.
I don't know. I feel like Jeremy Bonderman would be a good candidate if he was around yet.
I can see Nick doing it. I love Nick, but I can see him doing it. All right, last one. Anthony asks us, Dixon keeps hitting yet still isn't playing multiple days a week. Thoughts?
Mix in more Dixon.
Yeah, it's irritating. I want to see him play. I'm not I said a couple weeks ago that every at-bat we give to Iglesias is wasting that at-bat, and I don't think that anymore. I probably didn't even think that at the time, but it bothers me how many at-bats he's getting compared to Dixon, because we know nothing about what Dixon is.
Yeah,
and
we need more Dixon
of the way through the year.
We need more Dixon.
I have two more things that I want to bring up. We're not running as long as we normally do. So I put these in as time allowance, two subjects. I actually got into this with one of my childhood friends, today on Twitter. What are your thoughts on Guy Fieri?
Oh, the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives guy?
Yeah.
With the bleach hair or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a good guide to get to Flavortown.
See,
I don't know.
I feel like a lot of people make fun of him because clearly the look is interesting. And he is over the top. He's such a good guy. Like, our favorite show right now is Guy's Grocery Games, which he is obviously the host of.
Jeez.
He refers to it as Triple G. Guy is, I mean, obviously, you can't tell from watching him on TV, but he seems like the most genuine, down-to-earth, cool dude. And he's uber talented.
Really?
He can host a million different things.
He's uber talented.
He is a chef and a TV host. He is an incredible chef who also has incredible on-air skills. There are on-air people in broadcasting who don't have incredible on-air skills and have no other talents. Just, you know,
how do you feel about Larry the Cable Guy? I'm putting him in that kind of category.
Part of me just died. You making that?
Guy Fieri is you're pumping him up like he's a prodigy or something.
He is.
He's a guy with frosted tips.
He is,
who likes to eat food. This is not fancy.
And I've thought about this over the last week or so. I think he is the celebrity I would most like to meet. I think he would be incredible
Paul,
to hang out with for an evening.
This you're just saying this to be a contrarian hot taker.
I mean,
you don't
behind
really
Johnny Kane,
want to hang out with Guy Fieri.
I think it would be a heck of a night.
Okay.
Guys,
you and
guys,
Guy
man, I'm sick of people making fun of him. I'm putting my foot down, just like you do.
All right.
All right. So who is your celebrity you'd most like to meet whatever reason?
In the world of cooking?
No, any. I mean, you can do cooking if you'd like, but it could be any. And you've crossed Phil off the list, so clearly he's.
I don't want to meet any celebrities. They're high maintenance. It's hassle. I feel bad hanging out with them. I don't know. Mike Allstott, maybe. He's still my favorite football player. Maybe me and Mike could hang out. We could go. He likes to fish. We could go to Florida. Go to fish with Mike Allstott.
All right.
I want to do something with my celebrity. I just don't want to fawn over them and, you know, bend the knee like you are with the Guy Fieri.
What?
I want to do something.
Guy and I are just hanging out. He would play FIFA with me or, you know, whatever.
Eat.
Yes, we would clearly do that too. And the other question I figured, I think we might take next week off, just FYI for the listeners. So I feel like this is kind of timely. Do you think that Rafa Benitez is still the manager of Newcastle the next time we record?
I do. I'm in pain. I was so excited for Newcastle season to begin. They're in the Premier League. They're going to be great. And okay, you lose to Tottenham. Very understandable. They're a good team. Now you get rolled by Huddersfield. Come on.
Who was worse than you last year in a lower division?
We beat Huddersfield, I think, twice last year, and now we lose. Now I'm not excited, and Rafa is understandably pissy with the ownership, and the owners are bad. Why did you bring it up? Now I'm sad.
I do think that you guys are going to be fine. I think he quits before the next time we record, and I think you guys will be fine. I don't think you're going to have a great season, but I think you stay up.
We've had so many crap managers through there. Ugh.
All right. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. Eric is at Comeric Eric. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Eric, do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the week?
No, I'm too sad about Newcastle to talk about anything.
With that being said, we will catch all of you guys possibly next week, possibly the week after. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.